Okay, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to... We want to welcome you to this session today. It's on prayer and evangelism. And...
okay with it?
Yeah, but... Yeah, you can connect it. I can't find my... pen drive.
Isn't it in the company?
No. Okay, so if you're in this class today, you may want to have a copy of this. How many of you have a copy of this? So I just have a few more copies. You have a copy?
No, I have a copy, thank you.
Okay. Yeah, I can.
I have it.
No, the lady at the back.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to use this. I was going to do a different presentation today, but can't find my pen drive. Probably left it in my accommodation, so we'll work with this. So if you have this in your hand, we will work with this today. We're speaking about prayer and evangelism. And before we can really deal with that subject, you need to understand certain biblical principles. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the anointing of thy Holy Spirit and for many persons who are here today to understand the science of prayer. We pray that you would grant them alertness of mind, keen perception, and retentive memories so that they would understand the principles and be able to use them to grow the various churches. Grant us the Holy Spirit today and grant us clarity of mind in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So I want to explore with you the theme of prayer in evangelism. And the reason why I love prayer and evangelism is because it has been a blessing to me, really. I have used it many times in my own experience, in serving others. And this is the document. You would like to have a copy of it. I do not have more copies right now, but you can, if you come tomorrow morning, I will have sufficient copies. I'm sorry for this. Okay. Tomorrow I'm going to deal with the idea of prayer in cross-cultural missions and how you can go about planting churches among Chinese people, among Hindus. I'm going to show you a live demonstration of the process of church planting. I'm going to show you how prayer works in that process of planting church. Because especially in Canada, the presentation tomorrow would be very important. Tomorrow morning I'm dealing with that presentation. So I would suggest that you would tell your friends about it. Because it's going to be a very powerful presentation. I will show you pictures of persons who are coming to Christ. Hindus, Chinese people who are coming to Christ. And you will be able to use it to plant many new churches.
Will you repeat it in the afternoon, tomorrow afternoon, or continuous?
Oh, well, tomorrow morning, I think I will just do it tomorrow morning. You cannot come tomorrow morning?
we don't like the repetition. So, okay, if you say that it's the morning, we'll adjust.
Yeah, if you adjust and in the afternoon. Yeah. But I wanted to do it today, but I somehow left my presentation. Okay. Yes, sister. Okay. Okay. So, but by right, the principle and the structure of the program, as Dr. Ali designed it, is that it's repeated so that I will follow the policy and probably repeat it in the afternoon. Okay? so to accommodate the interest and the enthusiasm for the program. And we also have Dr. Ferrari here also. He's the one designing the program. I'm only the servant. They are the bosses, you know. They are the bosses. Okay, for this afternoon, though, I want to give you three new things: new knowledge, new skills, and new attitudes. First, you have to ask yourself the question: when you want to be in the ministry of intercessory, you have to ask the question, why intercessory prayer? You must ask yourself, why prayer in evangelism? Instead, before we can talk about the how, we must talk about the why. And in this document here, I give you the theological foundation. I'm going to walk you through this little document. This document is what we use around the world for prayer in evangelism. It is the unique document for that. It's small but very effective. You can, from this document, if you study it and use it, you can double your church membership in 1 year. And I will demonstrate that to you at the end if you don't believe what I just said. So the praying evangelism says that God is omniscient. Okay? Which means that God is all-powerful and all-knowing. And God is everywhere. The fact that God is omniscient, this means that when we pray, wherever God can reach, your prayer can reach. Prayer has no limit. Prayer has no barriers. There's nothing you can do to obstruct the movement of prayer except sin. But I can pray. I can stay here and I can pray for someone in the United States and God can heal the person. Do you believe that?
Yes.
You can stay here and pray for your son who is maybe in Iraq and God can protect him. Do you believe that?
Yes.
It is because God is omnipresent. Okay, God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. And everywhere where God is, prayer is also there too. So that's a very powerful understanding about prayer. You can stay here and influence decisions anywhere. You can influence the decision of a nominating committee in the United States. You can influence the selection of your president in this country. Your president, you call it? You can influence the selection of the president of the United States. Prayer is just so powerful, but the church sometimes doesn't realize the power because of its theology of the omniscience of God, omnipresence of God. Also, prayer says that God is transcendent. God is far removed from the earth. He's not part of the earth, but he is apart from the earth. And so that's why when you pray, you say, okay, Father, we praise you. We praise you for your greatness, for your power, for your majesty, for your holiness. That's because God is transcendent. Okay? So that's that's the kind of prayer. You say, praise him, Jesus. That's a prayer, a song of transcendency. That's in Sabbath morning. You come for Sabbath morning. You take them to the transcendent God. So you begin... to God be the glory, great things he has done. That's this transcendent God. You're taking the worshippers and you're turning their mind this way to allow the glory of God to shine into the heart, to open up their hearts and to prepare them for worship. So when you understand the theology, you can design your practice according to your theology. Your theology must influence practice. So if I'm praying in Sabbath school, and because God is transcendent, I begin the prayer. Father, this morning we praise you. We praise you for your greatness, for your majesty, for your power, for your holiness. Because of my theology of the transcendency of God, it influences my practice. Prayer also says that God is all-sufficient, and I am insufficient. What does that mean? It means that every good thing that I am in need of, Dr. Ali, God is able to give it to me. Every good thing. There's nothing that is good that I am in need of that God is not able to give to me, because he is all sufficient. He may choose not to give it to me, but he can give it to me. So that's an important theology about prayer. Is God is all sufficient and I am insufficient. Prayer also says... Prayer also presupposes the omniscience of God, that God knows all things. He knows the human heart. He knows everything. So sometimes things may be happening around you, and you cannot discover what is really happening. It's like a mystery you cannot find out. But you can go to God, and God can reveal it unto you. You remember that? Many of the great leaders in the Bible, they would go to God, and at midnight, God would reveal it to them. A clear example of that was Daniel. The king had a dream, and the king could not remember it, but Daniel went to God, and God revealed it to him. That was saying that God is omniscient. He knows all things. I'm the director of Sabbath School at Inter-American Division, and the theology of Sabbath School is this, that God is omniscient. Meaning that God knows all things. So that's why the Sabbath, look at the two words, Sabbath school. Where's the emphasis? On the Sabbath or the school? Huh? Sabbath school. Where's the emphasis? Is it on the Sabbath or is it on the school? Huh? Both? Yeah, the emphasis is on the school. The school, it is a school that meets on Sabbath. It's a school that meets to expose you to the knowledge of God. God is all knowledgeable. That's why the Bible is the textbook in the school. You see, it's the omniscience of God. He knows all things. So I'm just trying to show you theology is important. When you understand theology, it influences your practice. So I want you to write this statement down. Your theology must influence your practice. Without a theology, example, women's ministry. What is the theology of women's ministry? Special needs ministry. Those of our members who have special needs. They may be vision impaired, they may be hearing impaired. What's the theology of special needs? The theology of special needs is that God made us in his image. Two, that we are all sinners. Two. Three, we will all be saved by grace through faith. Four, God's kingdom is all inclusive. So you need to establish the theology of the ministry so that members would understand what they are doing and how they are doing it. It's very, very, very important to establish that. Theology is important. So this is the theology of prayer. Then prayer operates on principles. It has laws. It's not just praying. Prayer operates with divine laws. And here are the divine laws on page 4. Page 4, you can see the laws. I want you to see it. On page 4, the bottom of the page, you have 6 laws that governs prayer. If you follow those laws, God responds to your prayer. Yeah. Yes, I'm run short of more. Every day more people are coming. So, and I made only 35 copies. Tomorrow I'll make 100 copies. So all who come will have. Okay? So no problem. I will speak with Dr. Debbie. Okay, so here are the principles. Very important principles. Let's read them together. I want you to help me. Everybody, let's read aloud the 5 principles, 6 principles of prayer. What are they? Go on. That is a very important principle here. Spiritual healing comes before physical healing. That's why. So when you go to the hospital to pray for people, when you bring your visitors under your tent, what I will demonstrate to you, you must first pray for the forgiveness of sins. Okay, ask God to cleanse them, to forgive them for their sins. So then God, so that the healing can take place. That's very important law of intercessory prayer. Spiritual healing always comes before physical healing. Go on. Physical healing. So that's why it's important to read the scripture to the person first and ask him, do you believe it? Example, when I'm praying for people who are sick, I would read for them Isaiah 58 and verse 8 that says, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and your health would spring forth speedily. And then I ask, do you believe it? Once they put their faith in that promise, then God is able to act. Okay? Important.
What if the person says no? That they don't believe it?
If the person says no, that he does not, he don't believe it, then God cannot act, because the healing is going to come through his faith. You see, faith is like a pipeline that brings water to your kitchen. Faith is like an electrical wire that brings that current or electricity to your house. Without faith, God cannot really minister to a person. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So very few persons you would meet who say they don't believe. So if you don't believe, you back up and do a little work with him and then read the text again, okay? Right. Okay, so these are the laws, but the first two is the one that relates directly to evangelism. Watch this. It says time spent with Jesus in private will be rewarded openly. That's a law of prayer. If you spend time with God in intercessory prayer in a private place, then God rewards you openly. Jesus was a master at this particular principle. Before he engaged in healing during the day, he would go up into the mountains in intercessory prayer, spend time spent with his Father. And when he came down to the valley, into the cities, into the villages, he had tremendous power. Why? Because he spent time with God in private and God rewarded him openly. If you want to see your children come back to Christ, spend time with God in private, in your room, in your house, wherever, in your closet, for a few weeks, and then you will see them coming back to Christ in the public. If you want to see your children do well at school, let your children have a specific place in their home where before they begin to study the chemistry and the biology, they read the Bible first and then pray every day. Half an hour, read the Bible, pray, read the Bible, pray, and then go to the chemistry book. That little time spent in private, when they get to the exam, God will reward them openly. They will come, they'll pass all of the exam, and everybody at church will say, wonderful, congratulations. That's the open recognition. But the reason why they can get open recognition is because they spend time with God in private. Are you with me? If you want to get an increase of salary in your workplace, spend a month in private with God, Bible study and prayer, talking to God, open up the heart of the boss, or help the boss to understand your needs and what have you. You spend time, and one of these days the boss will call you and say, you know what, today you have an increase of salary. It's a principle, it's a law. Time spent with God in private will be rewarded openly. And that is the principle that governs intercessory prayer in evangelism. In evangelism, when you organize a prayer team, anytime your church is going to have an evangelistic campaign, the first thing to organize is the prayer team. What's the first thing? Identify a group of intercessors who will pray, and I'm going to demonstrate that to you before. But that's the principle that will govern your intercessory prayer team. Time spent with God in private will be rewarded openly. Now, how to organize prayer in evangelism? Page 5. Look at page 5. These are the things you will do. When you have the prayer room, either a room in the church or a prayer tent, this is what you will do underneath the prayer tent for every night. Okay, that's the sequence. I am explaining the items you hear is what you actually do under the prayer room. So you spend about 1.5 hours or 2 hours in the prayer room from 6:30 and so forth, and you follow these particular principles. Bible reading, personal reflection, Bible study, prayer points, and so forth. So all what I've explained on pages 5 and 6 is explained what you do in the prayer room. This is important, the activity in the prayer room. In the prayer room, you don't want anybody preaching in the prayer room or giving a lecture in the prayer room. The prayer room is not for that. The prayer room is a simpler place for prayer and Bible study, but not preaching. And page 7, I'm just walking you through this. Page 7 is the same outline. This is the outline I explained on the previous pages. This is the outline you follow. So when you're in the prayer room, this is what the coordinator follows in the prayer room. Sister Terrence, welcome. It's nice to see you. God bless you. This is the outline you follow in the prayer room. You have first the Bible. You begin with Bible reading. You come together and you begin with the Bible reading. You just read, example, Psalm 51. You just read it. Don't explain it. Just read it. Then you go to your personal reflection. That's your personal reflection, which would be in, I will show you in a while. And you read those prayer points in the personal reflection. That's to help them to prepare for the prayer. Then the Bible study. And then the prayer points, and you see all of that. You follow that sequence there. Okay. Come, go to the next page. You will see here. What do you do in the prayer room? When you bring the visitors to the prayer room, what do you do? On page 8, pages 8 and 9 explains to you what you do in the prayer room. Okay? When you come to the prayer room, exactly the activities that take place in the prayer room. The visitors come to the prayer room, then you ask the key question, you read the Bible text, you offer the prayer forgiveness, then you pray a prayer of faith and supplication, thanksgiving, and then you send them to listen to the Word of God. So that's what you will actually do with the visitor, and we're going to demonstrate that to you in a while. Now, if you go to page 10, you will notice what you call prayer points. Prayer points are specific things you pray for every night in the prayer room, specific things. And look at some of the things you pray for. Look at the first one, personal reflection. You can see that. Pray that God would have mercy on you and blot out all your transgression. That's a personal prayer. The intercessors pray in silence. So take a note of that. This prayer point is offered in silence. Each of the intercessors in the prayer room would pray that prayer in silence. That's asking God to cleanse them from sin. Welcome, Dr. Ali. Good to have you and your friend. Welcome here. So you pray for that specifically. Then you have the praying for the Holy Spirit. And an important thing to do in the prayer room, if Dr. Ali is the evangelist, every night you invite him to the prayer room. 10 minutes before he preaches, you invite him to the prayer room. He comes to the prayer room and all the intercessors put their hands upon him and you pray these prayer points here, the praying for the evangelist. Can you see that? You pray for the evangelist right here. Go to page 11 and I'll show you a prayer points that you need to pray for. In your community, every night you should pray for those prayer points, because those prayer points would increase the amount of visitors who come every night. And it's on page 11. I would like you to read it, the one that says community within the campaign site. Everybody, let's read it together. Go on. Pray that God will dispel the spirit of deception and ignorance which has kept the people, which has kept the many people in captivity for years. Pray for the deliverance of the people from all satanic forces. So these are important things. These are prayer points. So in other words, when you the intercessor, you say, let us pray. These are the specific things they pray for. Prayer is like this. Prayer is not like a snake, okay? It doesn't go like this, in an arrow like this, you know? No. It will never hit the target. Prayer must be like this. It must be like an arrow, straight. It must hit the target. Bam! It must be specific. So when you ask the intercessors to pray, they must not be including breadfruit and mango and oranges and all kinds of things in one prayer. It must be a specific prayer. If you're praying for that God will dispel the spirit of darkness, they must focus on that. Okay? Focus on a specific thing. Sometimes we're praying and we're putting all kinds of things together. Rice and peas and onions. Okay, no, that's not prayer. It must not be mixed up. It must be focused. Okay, so that's what makes prayer. So that's why they call prayer points. So these are the specific things you pray for. Example, when I'm praying for somebody and the person says, Pastor, I have a serious back pain, a serious discomfort in my back. I'm not going to mention the kidney. I'm not going to mention the person's heart. I'm going to say, Lord, today I present Sister Joan in your hands. I pray at this moment that you would reach down from heaven and place your hands upon a spinal cord. Touch each vertebrae. So the person is hearing me speaking specifically about a particular area of the body. Touch this vertebrae at this moment, Lord, and allow your healing power to flow through upon those vertebrae and touch the nerves and bring healing and strength and vigor and restoration, new life. Specific. The prayer is focused, and it's focused on a specific area of the body, and that's how prayer works. It must be if I'm praying for the head, I'm praying for the no, it's too much. Prayer must be concentrated in that way. Now, so these are the prayer points here, and you go quickly to, I say, one of the things before the intercessors begin to pray, you need to provide them with training. So you go to the back of the last page and you would observe the curriculum. This is the curriculum right here for training intercessors. You follow this. This is the curriculum and the instructional material is this document. So before before intercessors begin to pray in evangelism, they must receive a weekend of training. Provide a weekend of training for them, where you train them in three things. You train them in the theology of prayer, you train them in the principles of prayer, and then you train them in the methodology of prayer. What are the three areas of training you must offer?
Theology,
which you can find in this document. Then you give them the principles of prayer, and then you train them in the methodology of prayer. If they do not have the theology, they will not be able to pray effectively. The theology must influence the methodology. The theology must inform the methodology. If the theology is not clear, then the members, they can have all kinds of strange methods of prayer that are not biblical. So you must first take the intercessors to a clear, biblical, theological understanding of prayer. The will of God and all of those things, the omniscience of God, the all-sufficiency of God. Help them to understand the theology, so that when they understand the theology, it will inform the methodology. Amen? There are lots of people who have all kinds of strange ideas about prayer, and it's because they don't have any clear theology of prayer. So, praying evangelism is very important. Why is it important? It is important because prayer operates in the context of conflict. It operates in the what? They can pray. This is God, and this is Satan, and you can see, let's say this is the sinner, the person you're going to pray for. So God is here and Satan is over here. The battle is for this person's mind. This is a supernatural battle. The person is held captive by sin. Okay, so you can see them here on earth, where they are maybe drug addicts, they may be drunkards, they may be all kinds of things out here. But this real battle is in the realm of the supernatural, where they are held captive by satanic strongholds. Now, how do you get them come to Christ down here on earth? They must first be delivered here. So this is why in the Bible, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 4 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty." Mighty through God, through the pulling down of strongholds. So you have three important supernatural sources available to you: prayer, the Holy Spirit, and the Bible. They work together in bringing deliverance to persons who are held captive by satanic stronghold. So in the prayer room, you will bring those persons to that decision. Now listen to this. The decision for Christ and baptism is made in the prayer room. The prayer room is the most powerful section of the campaign. If 100 persons come to your prayer room, you can baptize 90 of them. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
Why? It is because of the decision-making dynamics in the prayer room. Visitors who come to your prayer room, the problem is sin. So you need to confront it. So I'm going to demonstrate it and show you how you pray for people in the prayer room. So my friend, come. I'm going to demonstrate to you, to show you how it works in the prayer room, the dynamics of prayer in the prayer room. So come to this side. So he comes to the prayer room. He's the visitor. He comes to the prayer room. And so let's illustrate it. Pastor Farrell, you take him on the outside and you bring him in. So okay, he comes to the meeting. So you take him on the and you go with Pastor, your visitor. So he comes to the meeting, and here is the evangelistic tent over here. Okay, this is your evangelistic tent, or your church where the campaign is being conducted, and you have your prayer room that is separate from where the meetings are being held. So he comes to the meeting. He comes at the front of the tent over here, and so Pastor Farrell invites him to the prayer room before he goes into the sanctuary where the sermon is going to be preached. Okay, because you are preparing him. Okay, he comes, and let's example, he may be a drug addict, and so he's controlled by supernatural forces. Sin controls his mind. He comes to the prayer room like this, his mind closed. He doesn't really want to hear anything about God. He's not inclined to serve God. His mind is like this. So he comes to the prayer room, and watch what you're going to do, how you're going to lead him to Christ. So he comes to the prayer room, he says, good evening, friend.
Good evening.
Welcome to the prayer room. These are the intercessors who have been praying for people night after night, and God has been answering their prayer. Welcome to the prayer room. Then you ask him. Never ask him, why did you come to the prayer room? What's your problem? Are you a drug addict? Are you a drunkard? Don't ask those questions. Never. That's not your business. Oh, ask, do you have a problem? No. Simple ask him this. Friend, what would you like Jesus to do for you tonight? What's the question you will ask him? No, it's friend. You must look at him straight in the eyes. Straight in the eyes. His name is not as important at the moment. Okay, so you don't necessarily have to ask him, what is your name? You simply say, friend. Look at him straight in the eyes. Watch my head. Look at my head. Look at my head. Look at my non-verbal communication. Friend. You see that? Friend. Not friend. Okay? Friend. See? In the affirmative. Friend. What would you like Jesus? You see that? Watch my face. What would you like Jesus to do for you tonight?
I want to be delivered.
Okay, so he said, I want Jesus to deliver me. So you see the response? Now, he gives me that, he wants Jesus to deliver me. So before I go further, I want you to practice this question on the person next to you. Turn to the person next to you and practice this question. Ask, friend, what would you like Jesus to do for you tonight? Practice that question. Okay, now you can use the word God, but I prefer to use the word Jesus. The word Jesus tend to give a little more melody. Friend, what would you like Jesus to do for you tonight? And when you say tonight, so is he in the affirmative? You're using your nonverbal to communicate. Very important. Now he says to me, he would like Jesus to deliver me. He would like Jesus to deliver him. So I go to the Bible and I try to get a text as close as possible on deliverance, and I might go to 1 Corinthians 10, 3 and 4, and he says, listen to this. Here the Bible says, friend, for the weapons of all your warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Do you believe that God has the ability to deliver you tonight?
Yes.
Ah, you see? Yes. So I never explain the text. Don't explain the text. Simply read the text and then ask him, do you believe that God has the power to do what the text said? Okay? So you're getting him to put his faith in the promise of God. So you notice what the first thing I'm doing? The first thing I'm doing, I am confronting his need for deliverance with supernatural power. With what I'm doing? Confronting his need with supernatural
power.
With the Bible. That's very important. So when I plant the word of God into his mind, it is there. You had a question?
Yes, I was just wondering, what if he says, no, I don't believe
in God? Well, very rare you'll find somebody responding that I don't believe it. Because once he comes to the prayer room, if he says he does not believe it, you can say to him, okay, friend, I will believe it on your behalf. Yeah?
That's good, yeah. Pastor. What would you have to ask him, what is deliverance from?
No. You don't need it. He just wants him to give you the desired outcome. What would you like Jesus to do for you tonight? He says, I would like Jesus to deliver me. Okay, so he tells you what he wants the deliverance from. You don't want to go into all of the details in the prayer. You don't want to uncover all of that. The Holy Spirit is going to deal with it in a moment. But while I do not know what it is, that's why I'm confronting whatever it is with supernatural power. So I take the word of God. Watch this. For the weapons of your warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. So the word of God into the mind, and whatever the issue of deliverance is, the word of God begins to attack it. Are you with me? You're engaging his mind with supernatural power. The word of God is like a two-edged sword, cutting asunder. Are you with me? So I'm planting the word of God into the mind, and the word of God enters the mind and begins to tackle the particular problem of deliverance that he wants. Are you with me? So it's not my business to find out at the moment. I will confront it, whatever it is. Sometimes you try to deal with those things that are satanic and the devil mess you up a lot. So don't try to dig into those things. Confront it with scripture first. Are you with me? Now, after this is done, I read the text for him and he says, yes, I believe. He said, yes, I believe. What happens? You're going to pray for him. And the intercessors would come. So, mother, would you come? Three of you, please come. Yeah. Yes, yes, come. And place your hands upon him like this. So the intercessors in the room, they would be standing around him, okay, in the actual prayer room. And the intercessors, they would place their hands upon him. So once they place their hands upon him, so watch the supernatural issue. The word of God is in the mind, and now we're going to give him the prayer. The moment we begin to pray, the Holy Spirit comes down. So the Holy Spirit, the prayer, and the Bible, all three upon the human mind to create changes in his mind. So I begin to pray. And the prayer has three parts. I'm going to ask God to forgive him for his sins. I'm going to ask God to strengthen his faith. And I'm going to ask God to give him deliverance. Three sections. And that this is in the document here. It's in your document. How you pray for the person in the prayer. So listen to this. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for a friend who have come into the prayer room tonight. We pray the Lord that you'd forgive him for all of his sins. Cleanse him from all of his sins. Give him a clean heart. Wash him thoroughly and make him a clean vessel in your hands tonight. Now, Father, we pray that you would strengthen his faith to believe that God is able to deliver him. Strengthen his faith in the promise which says, for the weapons of your warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, through the pulling down of stronghold. Oh Lord, strengthen his faith to believe that God is able to deliver him tonight. And now, Lord, we present to you his need for deliverance. Whatever, Lord, has held him captive, we pray in the power and in the name of God that you will bring deliverance to him. Break every chain. Loose him, dear Lord. Set him free tonight. And help him to walk in freedom in Christ, knowing that Jesus has the ability, and tonight he has delivered him. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we have prayed this prayer of deliverance. I'm going to ask him to offer a prayer of thanksgiving. Notice this. Watch the principle here, my friends. Don't miss this. The input. What's the input? Three inputs. One, the word of God. See? Two, prayer. Three, the Holy Spirit. Three, into his mind. Into him. Now he's going to respond back, and he's going to offer a prayer of thanking God for delivering him according to his will. So you offer a short prayer of thanksgiving now.
Thank you, Jesus, for your deliverance. I thank you in your name. Amen. Amen.
Okay, so he offers a prayer of thanksgiving to God. What do you think happens to him? He comes into the prayer like this. But after I have given him scripture, I've given him prayer and the Holy Spirit upon him, his mind moved from this to this. See? This is low receptivity, high receptivity. Do it with me, everybody. Do it with me. Low receptivity, high receptivity. Again? So the purpose of the prayer room is to increase receptivity to the gospel. So they come to the prayer room with low receptivity, but when you give them the scripture and the prayer and the Holy Spirit, you increase receptivity. Now, with high receptivity, what do you do with him? The intercessors take him and they take him to the evangelistic meeting. So walk with him and put him to sleep. Let's imagine this is the church, okay? This is the church where the evangelistic campaign is taking place. So you take him to the church and you have him to sit right up front. Wonderful. Okay. Now, the intercessors don't sit with him. The intercessors return to the prayer room, right? And you leave him there and the song service is going on. You know, the song service is going on and he sits there. Now, watch. He sits there and the song service. The preacher is not ready to preach it, but he sits in the song service. He just comes from the prayer room. And what is in his mind? Watch what is the word of God is in his mind. He's hearing in his mind like a bassman in his head. In Trinidad, you say that? Yeah. You're hearing in his mind. He's hearing in his mind. For the weapons of your warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, through the pulling down of stronghold. Then he sensed the praise flowing over him, the blessings from the prayer. And the Holy Spirit is all over him. And he's sitting down in the prayer. And he's singing, here you see, It's a great change since I was born. The song service is going on. Great change since I was born. It's a great change since I was born. It's a great change since I was born. You see the atmosphere that is creating. The Holy Spirit is moving, changes in his mind. Now the preacher comes up. After 10 minutes, the preacher up and he's ready to preach. Ladies and gentlemen, I announce to you tonight that Jesus Christ is coming back soon.
Amen.
He said in John chapter 14, 1 to 3, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And one of the great texts of the Bible that assures me of the coming of Jesus, he said, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangels, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up with the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ is coming back soon. Young man, he's coming for you. Mother, he's coming for you. Friends, he's coming for you tonight. You want to be ready for the coming of Jesus? How many tonight wants to be ready for the coming of Jesus? Raise your hands. Amen. All those who have raised their hands, would you please stand? Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, young man, young lady, those of you who have experienced marvelous deliverance from God, from sin and Satan, and be saved by grace, this is your opportunity. There's going to be a big baptism one of these days. And if you love Jesus and you want to be ready for his coming, I will tell you, I want you to come to the altar to demonstrate your decision to be ready for the coming of Jesus. I will tell you when to come. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Brilliant. That I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, tonight, there are many persons here who want to be ready for the coming of Jesus. All those tonight who want to be ready for the coming of Jesus and be baptized one of these days, come. Come, my friends, come now. Come, I'm waiting for you. All those who want to be ready for the coming of Jesus. Young man, come. Yes, come. I'm waiting. Come. Yes, come. Lovely. Excellent. Now, what do you notice? In the call, all those who have gone to the prayer for that night and the previous night, thank you, they will come to the altar. We've stopped in the call now. So the idea is, once they go to the prayer, if 100 persons go to your prayer, 90 of them will be baptized. Because it's because of this principle. Low receptivity, high receptivity. The prayer room gives you high receptivity. So that when the pastor begins to preach, let me demonstrate. Pastor Ali, come. Let me demonstrate with Pastor Ali to show you something. No, remain right where you are. Look at the idea of high receptivity. Put your hand like this. Okay. So this is low receptivity. Okay? When I give prayer, Bible, and the Holy Spirit, what you begin to get. You see? So slowly, you give me slowly. First I confront the mind with the Bible. Okay? Okay? Then prayer. Then the Holy Spirit. You see? High receptivity. You see? Again, practice again. I'm demonstrating this to you. I'm a teacher. I like you to understand what is that. That's the purpose of the prayer room, to increase receptivity. So he comes and I ask him, what would you like Jesus to do for you? He says, I want Jesus to deliver me. Okay, I want Jesus to deliver me. So I'm confronting that satanic power with the Bible, the text. After the text, I give it another dose of prayer. Then the Holy Spirit comes and begins to work on the mind. Then the pastor comes, the evangelist, keep it open. Then the evangelist comes, watch this, with the text, with the Bible, and he begins to cut sin, hatred, malice, greed, the word of God, and plants the word of God in the mind. Amen?
Amen.
He comes to Christ.
Amen.
You see it?
Yeah.
Here's the principle. Supernatural. Why are you doing this? The problem is, put your hand again. The problem is sin. Anybody have a pen? I want a pen. I want to demonstrate it.
Yeah. Right here.
Okay, brilliant. So he caught it. So thank you. So look at this. Yeah. So look at this. The problem is sin, right? He comes to the pretend and he says he wants deliverance. The problem is sin in the mind. Now I cannot see what is the problem inside. I cannot see the sin inside. But what I can do, I can use supernatural power. So I come with the word of God first. I come with the word of God first. I give him the word of God. Okay, the weapons of your warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. So I give him the word. Then, prayer opens, and then the Holy Spirit. And now the Holy Spirit has access to the sin. You see, the sin is now visible. And now the Holy Spirit, now with the Bible, the preacher begins to cut adultery, cut fornication, cut malice, cut greed.
It's gone.
That's the principle. I'm making it easy for you to see and understand. But that's the supernatural battle you engage in. Sin is supernatural. Are you with me? Please be seated. Please be seated. Sin is supernatural. And in order to deal with sin in the mind, in the flesh, then you must make available this. The Bible, the Holy Spirit, and intercessory prayer is a tremendous power in evangelism. You increase your baptism. I'm not guessing, my friends. I do this all the time. Just the other day, I was in Mexico. I was preaching in Mexico, in Veracruz, Mexico. And we organized a little prayer team. And I was preaching. At the end, we baptized a lot of people. In the prayer room, in the evangelist meeting, there was a couple. They were living together, not married, but they were vision impaired. They could not see. I preached, made the call. They came to the altar. They were baptized. But before they were baptized, I got them married, because they were not living together. And in Mexico, you can get a marriage, a license in one day. You can get a marriage license in one day. You simply go to the court, you pay a few dollars, and you get it. And you got them married. And then we baptized them. And after we baptized them, we send them on honeymoon. I do not know how they were able to see, but you know how they're able to work things out, right? So
did you preach in Spanish or English?
Yo soy Americano.
En México.
Sí.
¿Hablabas español?
Sí. Sí.
Okay.
No, in Mexico, when I'm preaching, I begin in Spanish and then I continue in English. Why? I say to them that Espanol is idioma of el cielo, but English is idioma of la tierra, but English is pasaporte to el cielo. Yeah, so I transition, but I communicate with them nicely in Spanish and what have you. But the point I'm making is this, that they were blind and they came to Christ. Just before I was in Montemorelos University, we had a special needs ministry for 200 deaf persons. I preached on Friday night, gone, made the call for baptism. Three deaf persons came for baptism. We baptized them yesterday on Sunday. What I'm saying, every time there is ministry of intercessory prayer, there is large baptism. I want you to go back to your churches, organize prayer ministry teams. If your pastor is going to have a campaign, the first thing to do is to select the intercessors, 6, 7, 8, 12, 13, or whatever amount you want, and provide them with the training from this booklet. This, everything you want is there. You train them, and then organize, have a special room, a nice room, you with good lighting, flowers in it, a table with, you have olive oil, you have a tissue paper on your table, and the chairs are in a circle, and you organize nicely, and you begin the intercessory prayer about 6:30, where you can come for half an hour and prepare yourself as intercessors. And from 7 o'clock, before the preacher, 1 hour before the preacher begins to preach, you invite all visitors to come to the prayer room, and you begin to pray for them. You don't line them up and pray one after the other. If you have 6 visitors coming, you divide them up among the intercessors. So each intercessor take 1 person, and in 5 minutes you can pray for all 6 persons. Are you with me?
Right.
You go very quickly and you pray for them and send them back to the prayer, to the where the evangelist is about to preach, and let them sit up front. Why up front? Why should they sit on the front row on the rows closer to the preacher? Here is the principle. The closer the person is to the preacher, the principle of latitude increases decision. The closer they are to the preacher, the faster the decision. The greater is the decision. Okay? So let all the visitors sit up front after you take them from the prayer room. And it's very powerful. Yes, Ella?
Now, question. Do we bring people in the front row, somebody shows up the first time. I'm welcoming people at the entrance.
Mm-hmm.
What do I do then? I don't know the person. The person just walks in the church, the place where we are having the meeting. So that person is not brought by one of the church members and say, okay, let's go to the prayer room first. But this stranger, total stranger, that.
Okay, so the greeters are the persons who bring them to the prayer room. They come to the entrance of the prayer room and give the person, hand the person over to the intercessors. Intercessors take them into the prayer room. I'm going to answer your question, and then the intercessors take them back to the place of the meeting. So if the person comes for the first time, you say, good afternoon, friend. We are delighted to have you here tonight. And one of the things we are doing for all our visitors, before they listen to the word, we give them an opportunity so that we can pray for them. Pray that God would protect them, pray that God would bless them, pray that God would bless their family and their children. Would you be kind enough to allow us to pray for you tonight? Listen to my attribution. Would you be kind enough to allow us to pray for you tonight? Hardly anybody can back away from that attribution. So practice that. Practice this on the person next to you. Would you be kind enough? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. What are you saying?
I would be out the door. I just don't want to slide in.
Right.
I have a question.
Another question.
Just now. Let me finish with it. Okay.
The next question is, if the person now goes to the prayer room, and then what would you like to be delivered from tonight? And the person said nothing.
No. You don't ask that question. You never ask that. You ask the question, what would you like Jesus to do for you tonight?
Okay, yeah, if the person says nothing.
The person says, what would you like Jesus to do for you tonight? He says nothing. Okay, he says nothing. There's no problem with that. You simply pray for him.
Right.
You simply pray for him. What would you pray for? You pray that God would forgive him for his sins. Pray that God will strengthen his faith, and then you ask God to bless him with protection, bless him with financial prosperity, bless his home, bless his family. You pronounce a blessing upon him.
And then you ask the person to pray thanksgiving after. If the person doesn't,
okay,
I don't know what to say.
Brilliant. So let's come. You come. Let's role play. So I'm going to ask you to pray, and you will tell me you do know how to pray, okay? So, okay, we have prayed for you already. Now, my friend, would you pray and thank God for all of the blessings he has given you tonight?
No.
You don't know how to pray?
No.
Okay. Repeat after me. Dear Jesus. Thank you tonight.
Thank you tonight.
For your presence.
For your presence.
Thank you for the healing.
Thank you for the healing.
Thank you for your promise to protect my family.
Thank you for your promise to protect my family.
Thank you for the blessings you are going to give to my wife to provide her with a new job.
Thank you for the blessing that you're going to give to my wife to provide her for a new
job. I give you thanks. My heart is overwhelmed. I came with my heart closed. All right. You get it? So, right. You see. So you're simple. Let the person repeat after you, okay? If the person, because a lot of people will come like that, they're not able to pray, especially in this context where, you know, it's not a common thing. So you simply let them pray after you, and in the repeating after you can plant the suggestions, keep in the mind, okay? And he got it. You see, he had no response. So that's what you do with people. Yes, sister. No, okay, the intercessors would come to the prayer room about 6:30 before the meetings begin. They should be in the prayer room about half an hour before the meetings begin, okay, before some service, and the intercessors come to prepare themselves as intercessors. However, they begin to pray for visitors 1 hour before the preacher preaches. So that means they would begin to pray for visitors during the time of the song service. All during the song service time is when you bring the visitors into the prayer room. But you do not bring visitors to the prayer room when the preacher is preaching. all the visitors must be prayed for before the preacher preaches, so that they would be up front with their minds open, so that the word of God can go through and cut through the heart and bring changes to the life. Yeah. No, did I answer the question? No, I want to understand. I want to answer your question first.
Okay, so what you're saying is these people are already in the sanctuary during the song service, or I thought we would take them as soon as they come into the church.
Oh, the persons you're going to pray for are the persons who are coming to the church. The visitor, they come in, and before they enter the sanctuary, you pray for them. However, sometimes some visitors slip into the sanctuary before you did not know. So you can go and you can go into the sanctuary and ask them, "Would you like us to pray for you?" And you take them out from the sanctuary and bring them here before the preacher preaches. You got me?
Yeah.
Thank you. Brilliant. Very good, sister.
Mm-hmm. We need to have more people here to listen to this. Because this is so exciting. This is so powerful.
Yeah.
So much power. Mm-hmm. We can bring so many people to God. But they are so few. And this province is so big. How can we go out and reach this?
Well, this is why I'm providing you with the training. You see, intercessory prayer, one of the weaknesses you find of the church in America, in England, and in the secular country, they depend a lot upon humanism. The methodology, the program, and so forth, and the church is missing the supernatural dimension. In evangelism, we are not dealing with programs, we're not dealing with people's mind, just the mind, we're dealing with sin in the flesh. See, that's the problem, sin in the flesh. Example, look at my hand. Sin in the flesh. Sin in the flesh would be like this, it's jumping up, disorder, you know, you're out of control, sin in the flesh. You see, now what do you do with sin in the flesh? The flesh cannot control sin because sin is supernatural. Just give me your attention for a few more minutes. Sin is supernatural, the flesh is natural. So the flesh has no control over sin. So what do you do with sin? You bring the sin in the flesh under the control of the Holy Spirit. And once it's under the control of the Holy Spirit, then this is when the person walk no more in the flesh but in the Spirit. And I am saying, what I would like you to do is for tomorrow morning is going to be very, very, very good. I'm going to expose you to how you the power of prayer in evangelism and cross-cultural mission. I'm going to show you how to plant new churches among Chinese Muslims just through the power of intercessory prayer and the Bible. So I want you to, after this session, to go and tell everybody, and let's have the 10-pack tomorrow. Bring your pastors and everybody. Yeah. Yes, Dr. Tellem.
The greeters
at the front, the persons who are selected to welcome the people, they are the responsible to bring the visitors.
Okay.
Yeah, and they bring them to the room, and then the intercessor will take the person back to the prayer room. So the greeters do not wait for the visitors. The intercessor will take them back to the place. But I'm telling you, in Inter-America, this is the greatest division. This is the division of Dr. Ali, Pastor Ferrari, and Dr. Ali, or, you know, many people. It's a large division. By the time we roll into General Conference in 2020, 2019, we will have about 4 million members. We have 24 unions, 300 conferences, about 4,000 pastors, 14 universities. Lots of young people. In March last year, we baptized about 60,000 persons in one Sabbath. And the secret and the power of the division is the ministry of intercessory prayer. All over the division, people are praying. They come to the prayer, we pray for them, we prepare their hearts, open their minds, like high receptivity. And so the gospel just goes through their heart, and the pastors bring them to Christ. Lay people are the ones who are doing most of the preaching. Lay people, you know, lay men, lay women, preaching, pastors just baptizing.
You know what? It's all well what we're saying here, but you know what? The devil works double hard after. What about after? You just can't forget about prayer meetings. You can't forget about
sure.
For the people that are baptized, to keep them
in
Christ.
Okay. Mother, let's discuss this. The idea of keeping the new converts. The pastors, as pastors, we cannot keep ourselves. We cannot keep ourselves. The first responsibility of keeping new converts is the work of the Holy Spirit. Second work is the church. But when you look at Paul, when Paul preached, the first thing that Paul did, he led them to Christ, righteousness by faith, by grace through faith, and then he committed them into the care of the Holy Spirit. Why? Illustration. Here is sin in the flesh. When you commit them to the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit comes and he brings sin under control, and they now walk in obedience. So you teach them how, what to do every day. Every day you yield your life over to the Holy Spirit. You read the Bible first, pray the Holy Spirit, and you do this every day. And as you yield your body over to the Holy Spirit gives you victory over sin each day. And that's how new converts have to live in Christ. First, if each convert don't do that, yielding over to the Holy Spirit, no amount of work the church does will keep them. Because even as pastors, we cannot keep ourselves if each day we don't yield over to the Holy Spirit. Right. And another a great point. Another way of keeping the new converts, mother, as soon as they are baptized, you should take them out into the community to witness. They go out into the community and they begin to testify what God has done. Not to give Bible studies, but to simply say what God has done for them. The reason why I'm in the church today, I grew up in the Seventh-day Adventist church. We live close to the church. But my mother would take me out as a little boy and we'd go out into the community to give Bible study, to witness to people. And I developed that confidence, ability to speak in public and what have you. And I have never looked back up to this day. Taking out one of the problems we have, and we baptize the new convert and we keep them in the church and we do not give them anything to do in the church. That's why they will leave the church. They must be involved in the life of the church. But most importantly, we must teach them how to study the Bible and how to yield themselves over to the power of the Holy Spirit each day. If that is not done, they're going to leave the church. So that's very important. Yes, Pastor Ali.
I just want to confirm what you're saying about prayer. We try many preachers in North America, and we had basic success. And so this year we got Glenn Samuel from Jamaica.
Right.
And he used the method you are using about the importance of prayer. And we had the most baptism we have ever had in our church as a result of what you're talking about.
Amen. Amen. Excellent. Here is the family life ministry, family life director telling you the power of prayer. In Jamaica, Jamaica has 300,000 members. Every mile in Jamaica, you have a Seventh Adventist church. I'm not guessing. I go to Jamaica all the time. Every mile in Jamaica. And I'm telling you, in Canada, in England, when I go to England, every time I go to England, we baptize 100 or more persons. Why? The power of intercessor. Every person must go to the prayer room so that we can pray for them and increase their receptivity. Listen to this. Listen what I have discovered from just here working in England. Here's what I discovered. In England, the people operate based on logic and reason. When you go to England to do a campaign, they want everything written down.
Yes.
They want the songs. They want the number. They want the text. They want all the detail before you can preach. They have to have it written down. That's how they think. So the illogical people, they operate with the level of reason. But when to do evangelism, if I just preach logical sermons and nice PowerPoint, I will never baptize anybody. So here's what I do. Watch this, what I do. I move them from reasoning and logic to supernatural.
Yeah.
And when I take them to the realm of the supernatural, they have no response. And they come to Christ. In Canada, the churches in Canada must move from just the mere logic and reasoning and nice programs and what have you to taking the church back to the supernatural, where there is a strong emphasis on intercessory prayer, strong emphasis on the study of the Bible, strong emphasis of praying for the power of the Holy Spirit. You have a lot of people in Canada. Thousands of people. They're not hard. Don't say they're hard. Or difficult. What the church needs to do is to make itself available, make available the power of intercession. So I'm saying to you tonight, before you go to sleep, practice the method that I've just given you. Find four persons and ask them, friend, what would you like Jesus to do for you tonight? Okay? When they give you the response, read one verse of scripture to them, a text that is maybe close to what they have said to you. Or just read a text. After, pray for them and watch the impact. Watch the impact. Fine, do practice this. Just that question. Friend, what would you like Jesus to do for you tonight? Let's practice this question together. Everybody, let me hear you.
Friend, what would you like Jesus to do for you tonight?
A little more energy.
Friend, what would you like Jesus to do for you tonight?
Now, on the word Jesus, I want you to emphasize the word Jesus and put a smile on your face, okay? And your head. Let's go together. Let's go together. Friend. Brilliant. One more time. A little more energy now and give that word Jesus. Pounce on that word Jesus. Let's go.
Friend, what would you like Jesus to do for you tonight?
Brilliant. Excellent. Now they give you the response. Let's say they're going to respond and we will all respond. I would like Jesus to heal me. So I want you to, we ask the question and then you will respond and say, I would like Jesus to heal me. Let's go. So I'm going, let's go to the question again now.
Friend, what would you like Jesus to do for you tonight?
Respond. I would like Jesus to heal me. Okay, so they give, I would like Jesus to heal me. So the moment they say that, you would go to the Bible, you'll get your Bible or your iPhone or whatever, and you just simply read the text for them. A nice text you can read, Isaiah 58 and verse 8, and you read it. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and your health would spring forth speedily. Don't explain the text. Simple ask, do you believe that God has the ability to heal you? He says,
yes.
He says what?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, so let ask that question. Do you believe that God has the ability to?
Yes.
The person says?
Yes.
Okay, when the person says yes, you pray for the person. One, you begin. God, forgive them for their sins. Or forgive him for his sins or her sins. Then ask God to strengthen the person's faith. And then finally, present the need to God. And you watch the impact on the person. It will be tremendous, tremendous, tremendous. You practice it on your husband, your children, and what have you. This is what we use in Inter-America, and that's why we're baptizing so many people. We're going to pray tonight, today. If you did not get a copy of this, we can tomorrow. So tell all of your friends, and tomorrow we're going to have a great session. Yes, Mother?
I just have a question. Yeah. How can we involve our youth so that they can be part of this? You know, how can we teach them?
You know, our young people want to pray more than we anticipate, but the reason they do not know how to do it, and many of our postmodern youth, they are very, you know, they are modern, and they want to be able to. The first thing you have to do with them is to explain to them the theology of prayer. Many of them do not understand it. They just grew up in a home, mother say, let us pray, gentle Jesus, meek and mild, look upon a little child. And so that's most of them, the young people, and some of them do not pray at all. So begin with a youth ministry of prayer by explaining to them from this document the biblical foundation of prayer. And then here's an important thing to do with them on a Sabbath afternoon: take them out on a prayer walk. Okay, and before you take them out on the prayer walk, establish the theology of a prayer walk. The prayer walk is based on the theology of dominion. God gives us spiritual authority over the environment, over sickness and all kinds of things. Explain that to them and take them out on the prayer walk. Show them how to walk with your eyes closed and you are praying, asking God to bless the community. Teach them how to meet persons and how to pray for persons on the streets or in their home. So you give them a practical experience of the power of prayer. Now here's what is going to happen, right? They will come across people who, and they come to pray for somebody. And when they come, the group of persons, they may be smoking. And once they mention the word prayer, immediately they put away the cigarette. Because they see these young people as Christians. And so when you're demonstrating to them how when prayer, which is supernatural, come in contact with satanic power, how automatically the satanic power comes into subjection to the power of prayer. And that kind of experience on the field in a prayer walk begins the transformation within them. And then they come back to the church in the afternoon after the prayer walk and they give testimonies of what God did for them and how people responded to the prayer. And you begin to shape a culture Okay? You begin to shape a culture of intercessory prayer among young people. And you do that to them next on a next quarter and the next quarter, and then you're going to shape the ministry of intercessory prayer. I'm going to take your hand down. And then you have, we conduct with them a weekend prayer conference just for young people. A weekend prayer conference beginning on a Friday night and then on a Sabbath. And then you bring them to us on Sunday morning, 5 o'clock in the morning for prayer. 5 o'clock in the morning, and I can give that to you. I can show you how to do that. I can give you the outline for that. And then at 8 o'clock, you have a prayer breakfast for the young people. You provide all kinds of nice things, and they eat and have a good time. And in that, you shape the culture. A typical example of developing cultures among young people. In Inter-America, we take our young people at the university on mission trips. We take them on, send them for 2 weeks mission trip. The Inter-American division give each young person $500 US. And the young person also raise some money, and the union gives some money, and the conference gives some money, and all help them to go on a mission trip. When we send them on the mission trip, they come back transformed, changed. Example, I have two sons. I send them on a mission trip to Panama. They came back transformed, changed. Those boys love the church. They're always in church. I don't have no problem with them. You know, they just love the church. They're brilliant lads. One is in Loma Linda studying medicine, and he takes his summertime and he goes on mission trip. Last year he went to Haiti on a mission trip. You know, just because I sent him on a mission trip, changed his whole perspective, his whole mind, and I developed that culture of missions within him. So one of the things we need to do is to develop cultures among our young people for particular spiritual values. Dad, sir?
Yeah, a short quote about Steps to Christ in the last paragraph of chapter 6. It talks about God as your helper, but it says, as you reap the promises, remember that they are the expressions of unutterable love and pity. The great heart of infinite love is drawn toward the sinner with boundless compassion. We have the redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, Ephesians 1:7. Yes, only believe that God is your helper. He wants to restore his moral image in man. As you draw near to him with confession and repentance, he will draw near to you with mercy and forgiveness.
Brilliant, excellent, wonderful. So that as the intercessor come into the prayer room and you lead him into a prayer of repentance and confession and thanksgiving, the Holy Spirit comes close to him. That's why he comes into the prayer room like this. He leaves like this. High receptivity. This is the gift for the church. This is where God wants the church in Canada to return to. And somebody had... Ella, you had your hand up?
Yeah.
I apologize.
No, it's fine.
Yeah, please.
I just wanted to see if I got you right.
No, I said, no, you walk with your eyes open. No.
Right.
Oh, no, that would be a disaster. No, sorry.
He came from New York.
Uh-huh.
And he said, if you walk with your eyes closed in New York, they don't kill you.
Yes, yeah, no. No, in the prayer walk, you always walk with your eyes open. That's the only time you really walk. You know, you're praying with discernment, or you walk with your eyes open and you're praying as you go. Yes. So, yeah. Okay, it's right. Fine. Watch and pray. Yes. Okay. Thank you very much. Let's all stand. I think our time is gone. And tomorrow morning we're going to have a very powerful session. And in the evening. Okay. So tomorrow, tell your friends about it. And practice the things I just gave you. The things tonight. Practice it on your friends. Yeah. Dr. Ali, would you pray for us? Yeah.
Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we are eternally grateful that we could come here, Lord, and learn and how we can pray and allow your power into the lives of people.
Amen.
So sin could be broken and be defeated by your name and your power.
Amen.
And God, I want to pray that for those who are here, that we will be the ones who will forge ahead and allow others to know there is power in prayer.
Amen.
Thank you, God, for our presenter. May you continue to bless him. Thank you for his enthusiasm. Thank you, oh God, for your amazing grace, allowing us to be here today. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
God bless you. Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Yeah.